ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये.
Welcome everybody. It's always a relief to come through the festival season and then end up in a hearing chanting session right afterwards, because it's a reassurance that it will go on no matter what. And it's this systematic practice of Krishna consciousness, especially hearing and chanting very deeply every day, as much as possible throughout one's life, that changes the heart. And as the heart changes, the conscious, when we say the heart, we mean the consciousness. The heart is the seat of consciousness. When the consciousness transforms, and due to the natural effect of association with the transcendental sound vibration, and one begins to make progress, definite progress, as is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I sang the verse Nashta Prayeshu Badrishu, which indicates that there is a change of heart in which there is a diminishing of the influences of lust, anger, greed, and so forth that are caused by the lower modes of material nature. Those are handily dealt with by the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, which are not different from Krishna himself. And then we come to a positive stage where we realize for ourselves that I'm actually becoming better. I was thinking about this just yesterday and how miraculous it is when our bodies heal. Have you ever had the experience where something like a cut or a break or an abrasion occurs to your physical body, and then you simply create, well, you don't have to do much. Sometimes you have to create an environment to give it facility to heal. For instance, if you break your arm or something like that, you have to give a little bit of help, but it does everything else on its own. I once broke my arm, and then the doctor showed me that actually the bones just had to be pretty close together, because the body itself will create all this calcium mass around where the breakage was, and then it forms another union between the bones, and it's 9 times stronger than it was before. Or if you've ever had a little cut, anybody? Or a bee sting, or anything like that. I got a bee sting on Harinam the other night. And it is five days, and then and somehow the body dealt with it. I didn't have to think about it that much. I just had to kind of tolerate it. And in a similar way, miraculously, by Krishna's arrangement, for those who follow the process of sadhana, the practice recommended by the acharyas, and regularly hear and chant, there's a similar kind of healing that takes place within the heart, within the consciousness. The disturbances caused by an agitation of material desires and the conception of being separate from Krishna, it becomes mended. It's healed, and it happens in a very gradual and systematic way, almost miraculously beyond our control. It's happening by the grace of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that salilasya yatasharat. You know this verse? Salilasya yatasharat. It says that when one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the incarnation of Krishna, then Krishna becomes established on the lotus of one's heart. Huh? 285. You want to see a nice verse?
Pravishtakarnarandrena Svanam Pavasaroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yatashara Pravishta Karnarandrena Svanam Bhava Sororuham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yatashara.
The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water.
Pravishta karna randrena Svanam bhava saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yatasharat.
Everybody together now.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salila.
One more time.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilas.
One more time.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salila.
One more time.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna
Just one more time.
Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Shalilasya Yatashara.
Translation and purport. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus, one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee, like Narada or Shukadeva Goswami, and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can also deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. Can somebody give me a verse that we sing every day that says something similar? And I'll give you a hint. You usually sing it during Brahma Muhurta hour. Samsara tava nadali daloka
Chanaya karunya gana ganatam Praptasya karyana unanavasya Vande guru shri charanaravinda.
Who knows what the translation of that verse is? Approximately. The spiritual master receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy, just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world. By extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. Did you hear that? Okay. You were a little distracted, right? It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Let's hear it again. The spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. So let's compare that to the purport that we're looking at right now. Both this verse we read and the verse we're reading now have to do with the forces of nature. The verse which we sing during Brahma Muhurta hour, Sangsharadha Vanada Lita Loka, Tranaya Karunya Kana Kana Tvam, Praptasya Kalyana Gunarnavasya, Vande Guroshi Charanaravindam. This is a way in which the ocean of mercy, Krishna, is empowering someone to distribute Krishna consciousness, and therefore that force that of Krishna's internal potency is extinguishing the fire of material existence. Otherwise, everyone's burning in that fire, and the only relief comes from above. So similarly, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, it is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of this world. Thus, one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada or Shukdev Goswami and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy, but in the month of July, August, the autumn season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water like that of a metropolitan waterworks tank can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers. A powerful pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord like Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal love, and by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. I'm going to read that last sentence again with your permission because there's a lot there. And in other words, a summary of the process of bhakti. By sincere efforts to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada, self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus. And thus they delivered many more souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regular hearing and worshipping. By such actions, the accumulated material lusts, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord in the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but he becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being and the sediments settle down, but by a slight agitation, everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being. There is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Over the course of hearing the Sri Vyasa Puja offerings, we heard a lot about the importance of hearing and chanting. We also heard from a lot of devotees who said that they had come in contact with some transcendental literature, and then by reading that, felt an immediate connection, felt purified, got intelligence to come to Krishna consciousness. And there are many ways in which people try to counteract the influence of material nature, but all those methods fall short. There's a systemic way in which one can, once and for all, stop all the anomalies of the material world and solve all the problems of life. And that's the process of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam. And this should be encouraging to know that by regularly hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam and sufficiently hearing, gradually one's mind and heart will become purified. So there are various ways in which the Shastras help us to regulate our lives so that we can do that. And the mind has a way of gravitating back towards the shelter of material nature. And therefore it's important to regularly practice under the instruction of the spiritual master who's working under this instruction of the scripture. The tenets of Vaidhi Bhakti mean that one should have firm faith in the scriptural injunctions and follow them every day. And gradually, by following carefully the process of that's enumerated in the scriptures, one will develop a taste for hearing and chanting. And as Srila Prabhupada writes in the Adi Lila, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, text number 34, they listening? In the second to the last paragraph, what do you mean it's not working? Why don't you just buy a Veda base? Why do we have to depend on the internet? In any case, it mentions there that by the hearing process, one's appreciating capacity increases. And as one continues to hear, one develops a natural attraction for hearing in a particular way. Okay, don't look at the screen. Don't look at the screen. Yes?
I could ask a question.
No, that's okay. Not yet. So, I want us to remember any of the items that you heard over the last couple of days. We did a lot of hearing and chanting, either during the program, many of you were doing services, but also during the Vyasa Puja offerings. There were points about hearing and chanting that you may have heard that I'd like to recall, because it's important to go back and see what we remembered from the last couple of days of hearing and chanting, so we can keep it firmly in mind in the context of this verse.
I remembered what Rasika Mataji was saying, that it's also relating to the purport that we just read, how bhakti is the best. Like she was saying, like about her relatives and everybody, like they ask, why is this? Why not something else? Practicing, like even within Hinduism, like some other temple or some other path, but why only this? Like how she says that only in this the heart changes. In other process, nothing needs to change. And Prabhupada is, it's very relevant to the Prabhupada that we read, how Prabhupada is saying that bhakti is the only process to change the heart for good. For other processes, there is not a guarantee that we may not fall down.
Yeah, bring the sixth canto, please. Quick, within 5 seconds or less. Where's Mukhar Vin? Okay, give him the book. He'll look up the verse that says just what Gandharvika said. Prabhupada writes in 434, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, special natural appreciation. Okay. Special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. Adoration, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are the five primary relationships with Krishna. The highest perfectional stage of the conjugal relationship, enriched by many sentiments, gives the maximum relishable mellow of the devotee. So I gravitate towards this particular gem, this paragraph in which Prabhupada writes, and I'll repeat, special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. So there's a lot in that. May I have a nectar of instruction too, please? That verse number 8. That through the process of hearing, there's a natural development of appreciation. Special natural appreciation. Everyone say special natural appreciation. SNA. Special natural appreciation of the descriptions of a particular pastime of Godhead indicates the constitutional position of a living entity. And in the famous text 8 from the Nectar of Instruction, we hear about this gradual process in which Srila Prabhupada quotes, okay, if you're, just watch here, don't watch the screen, it's easier to hear. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. What should you hear? What are the other kinds of katha are there? Gramya Katha. What's that about? What's Gramya Katha? Talk of the village? What's talk of the village? Elections. What else? Movies. Who did what? Who should have done what? Who did what to whom? Sports. There's a lot of different topics you can talk about, but actually the Shastra recommends Krishna Katha that causes this increase of natural appreciation for the Lord in its different aspects, and which cleanses the heart. So advanced devotees gravitate towards this, and here's the recommendation. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. Quiz, how regularly should you hear?
Always.
That's a lot, right? Yeah. Because this word nityam means always, constantly, and it's mentioned here, there, and everywhere. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary, says that if we were to tell a neophyte that you have to 24 hours a day hear about Krishna, he or she may become discouraged. And therefore, he says, nityam means at least regularly every day. So everyone should have a regular diet, so to speak, of Krishna Katha. a bare minimum that we hear every day. On that note, before I continue with some of these bits of evidence, I would like to hear more of what you heard over the last couple days about hearing and chanting. Yes, Sudeep.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It was mentioned, I think, by His Holiness Keshav Bharati Maharaj about how important it is to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And one thing he mentioned about was, as he was reading this, he realized that when you read more and more, you're actually associating with Srila Prabhupada. And later I went to him and I thanked him for his offering. And I was just discussing with him, and he mentioned that not only should you be reading it, but you should be reading it out loudly. Because when you do so, you're also engaging your ears. So that is actually hearing the Krishna Katha. You're saying it out loudly and you're hearing it at the same time. And that is your associating with pure Srila Prabhupada through his books, and you're cleansing your heart at the same time.
Yeah, and he said, associating with all the other devotees that are there. As Prabhupada mentions in one purport in the Bhagavatam, we thank Narada Muni for kindly appearing in this chapter. And there's natural potency from the sound vibration itself, right?
Yes.
Yes or yes?
Yes.
Who can prove it? Go ahead. Who can prove it?
Wake up.
Prove it means that you have to give a shloka. Go ahead. Govindacharan's ready.
Shindatam sukata Krishna, punya shavana kirtana, radyantastohya badrani vidnoti suhrutsata.
Can you expound on that?
The messages of Krishna are virtuous in themselves, and when one hears those messages, all that is troublesome in the heart is cleansed and washed away, and the Supreme Lord is established in one's heart.
Yeah, it's punya shravana kirtana. In fact, it's spiritual capital. For those who want to become wealthy spiritually, how do you do that? You go on hearing. You hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is actual guarantee of increase in spiritual wealth. What else did you hear? Yes, Radhakripa Prabhu's in the back. Wow, look, he's coming all the way up from the microphone. He's got some eagerness.
Maharaj, I was really, inspired by Keshav Bharati Maharaj's offering, in which he has been following this thing for more than 40 years, and he's taking the bow in front of all of us to read Bhagavad Gita, minimum Srimad Bhagavatam for 41 pages for the rest of his life. I think this is very, very, I think this is a role modeling for us, that the person who has been, a pure devotee who has been following for so long, highlighting the importance even after following this practice for 40 years.
Or you could say especially after. There's a way in which as one develops capacity, as one hears and chants, one develops more capacity to hear and chant. And this is actually the sign of advancement given by Lord Kapiladev when he describes the practice of devotional service in three modes of material nature. He talks about devotional service in ignorance and passion and in goodness. And then he talks about transcendental devotional service. And he says that it's characterized by one's insatiable appetite for hearing. And Jiva Goswami also mentions that there's a direct relationship between one's level of advancement and one's eagerness to hear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentions that, and he gives this metaphor, that hearing is like a watering process. What's it watering? The creeper of devotional service. So the seed is planted by association with a pure devotee, and then one waters the seed by hearing and chanting. What do we call that? Shravanadi Jal. Do you know the verse? She'll recite the verse for us in Bengali.
Taha bistarito hoy phale prema phal, taha mali sechenito shavanadi jal. I don't know. So the meaning is that the devotional, the seed of the bhakti in your heart, when it is watered by hearing and chanting the names of the holy name, the creeper grows, and even if you are in the material world, it can go beyond the material coverings and go into the spiritual world.
Do you all know about that? About how the creeper grows outside the material world? That's how to break out of here. You can't do it by building a spaceship. You can't get out of the coverings of the material world. You're not allowed to escape like that. But by hearing and chanting, there's a way in which that creeper grows, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and it penetrates all the coverings of the universe, and then it goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. It's the quality of the sound and those we're hearing from, the pure devotees who have that special quality of natural love for Krishna. And by hearing that sound vibration, the creeper of devotional service grows all the way through the coverings of the universe, goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and it entwines itself around Krishna's lotus feet. Now what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say happens then? Does he say, now you can stop hearing and chanting? What does he specifically say? Let's see if it's in the next verse. He says that even after one attains this perfection, and the creeper has gone all the way. Let's read the verse. Stop. Go back. It looked too good to pass up. The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. Dare we read the purport?
Yes.
We're intrigued now, right? We want to hear the purport. Okay. In Goloka Vrindavan, the devotee may have very intimate relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee engages in the Lord's service in great ecstatic love. Such love was exhibited personally by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to the people of the material world. The fruit of the devotional creeper is the pure desire to serve and please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhari Prem Nam. In the spiritual world, one has no desire other than to please the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul within the material world can neither understand nor appreciate how a pure devotee in the material world can render confidential service to the Lord out of feelings of ecstatic love and always engage in pleasing the Supreme Lord's senses. Although seen within the material world, I wonder what happened. The pure devotee always engages in the confidential service of the Lord. An ordinary neophyte devotee cannot realize this, therefore it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigneya Vajpujai. The activities of a pure Vaishnav cannot be understood even by a learned scholar in the material world. Every living entity is wandering within this universe in different species and on different planetary systems according to his fruit of activities. Out of many millions of living entities, one may be fortunate enough to receive the seed of the Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotional service. By the grace of the spiritual master in Krishna, one nourishes the Bhakti Lata by regularly sprinkling it with the water of Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting. In this way, the seed of the Bhakti Lata sprouts and grows up through the whole universe until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and reaches the spiritual world. The Bhakti Lata continues to grow until it reaches the topmost planetary system, Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives. There the creeper takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, and that is its final destination. At that time, the creeper begins to grow the fruits of ecstatic love of God. It is the duty of the devotee who nourishes the creeper to be very careful. It is said that the watering of the creeper must continue. Ihan mali sheche nitya shravanadijal. Everyone say, please say it. Ihan mali sheche nitya shravanadijal. Ihan mali sheche nitya shravanadijal. It is not that at a certain stage one can stop chanting and hearing and become a mature devotee. If one stops, one certainly falls down from devotional service. Although one may be very much exalted in devotional service, he should not give up the watering process of Shravana Kirtana. If one gives up that process, it is due to an offense. This is described in the following verse. Oh my goodness, do we dare read the following verse? We're getting entangled here like anything. Jadi Vaishnava Parad Ute Hati Mata Upari Vachinde Thar Shuki Jai Pata. Let's hear this one from our Bengali speakers. Oh, very good. We need more Bengalis here.
Jodi Vaishnava Aparad Ute Hatam Hati Mata Upare Ba Chire Dara Shukhi Jai Pata.
Haribol! Although we're having fun with it, this is a very serious verse. Let's look at the word for word. This should be our guiding principle. Considering how delicate a creeper is, Jadi, say Jadi, if Vaishnava Aparadu, an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava, Ute arises, Hati, an elephant, Mata, mad, Upade, uproots, Ba, or Chinde, breaks, Taro, of the creeper, Shuki, shriveling up, Jaya, goes, Pato, the leaves. Translation. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. Purport. One's devotional attitude increases in the association of a Vaishnava. Tandara charana shebe bhaktashani bas janame janame hoye avilas. By his personal example, Narottam Das stresses that a devotee must always remember to please his predecessor acharya. The Goswamis are represented by one's spiritual master. One cannot be an acharya, spiritual master, without following strictly in the disciplic succession of the acharyas. One who is actually serious about advancing devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous acharyas. Achai goshai jar mitar das. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the acharyas. And thinking this, one should live in the society of Vaishnavas. However, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas and thus gives up all the regulative principles due to offending a Vaishnava, one's position becomes very dangerous. Offenses against the holy name are explained in the Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 24. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant. Isn't that interesting? What is that mad elephant being described here? Yes, but giving up the process of devotional service, living according to your whims. So, offenses against the holy name are explained in the Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 24. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims is compared to a mad elephant, which by force uproots the bhakti lata and breaks it to pieces. In this way, the bhakti lata shrivels up. Such an offense is especially created when one disobeys the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called guru avagya. The devotee must therefore be very careful not to commit offenses against the spiritual master by disobeying his instructions. As soon as one is deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master, the uprooting of the bhakti lata begins, and gradually all the leaves dry up. So it gives some perspective to the meaning of being careful. One should hear and chant and at the same time be careful about following the process of devotional service. And there are, we were saying before, special potencies within the sound vibration. and also within the association of devotees. I was thinking, actually just this morning, of the fact that there are things that always happen even though you think they won't. Did you understand that? There are things that happen, there are things that always happen even though you think they won't. And, on the other side, there are things that never happen even though you think they will. And I wrote a list on each one of them. But I wanted to hear what you thought first. It relates to understanding the mystical potency of devotional service and also by giving up the process. But anyway, I don't want to give too many clues or hints, but I just wanted to hear what Govindacharna specifically has to say.
Hoping your wife will listen to you.
So which category does that come under? Things that never happen even though you think they will, or things that always happen even though you think they won't? Okay. Under number one? Okay. What else do you have for me here today? Yes?
After the, like, when you cross the boundary of your service while doing so something, I'm not specific with the Janmashtami service, but in general, we think we are crossing our limit and that might not help us get the other day going in a very smooth way, but that doesn't happen.
What doesn't happen?
Like, you get very tired after the service and you are not you are not fit to carry forward
that
from the next day.
That doesn't happen.
But that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you think maybe I'll exhaust my that I'll become diminished. Let's put it this way: I'll become diminished in my strength and my enthusiastic if I do too much devotional service, right? But you're saying that actually you become more enlivened. This is something that we're finding here at ISV as we're experimenting with our lives, isn't it? We find that I remember back to a time when we first started the MSF, which stands for Monthly Sankirtan Festival. It's a time at which the community organizes in such a way to come together to and makes goals to distribute certain numbers of books and certain number of sorties going out on book distribution and things like that. And I remember that one of the first goals we set, there was a little concern. Do you remember this, Melanie? There was some concern. Someone wrote me a letter and said, you know, it's a little too much. We're asking here. The goal's a little too high. Let's take a much more gradual approach and stuff like that. And I thought about it for a few seconds, and then I wrote back. And my feeling was that it wasn't too much, and that we should push for it. And I think I wrote something about it. Let's try for it. And that was one of the first revelations we had here, that although it seemed much more than we had done before, we invested all our energy into it, and rather than becoming defeated or diminished, we actually we smashed the goal and we became more enlivened, and we moved forward. So there's an unlimited stock of energy. Of course, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't take care of oneself. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapna babodasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. You have to be regulated in the practice of yoga. But devotional service is energizing. Is that what you're finding? You worked really hard and then your mind thought, oh, this is, I'm fasting all day, I'm working, everything, I'll feel terrible, but you felt enlivened instead.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Nice. So, we're just a few more if you have. Things that always happen, even though you think they won't. Yes.
Usually we want to be the center of attraction always, but material nature doesn't allow one person to be the center all the time.
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
I was planning to take off Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and luckily my manager went on leave, so I got work from home. That falls in the second category.
Second category, which means things that never happen, even though you think they will. Okay, nice. Malini had one?
As you mentioned, every time we think, when we set the goals, we think that it would never happen. This is too much. But what always happens is that Krishna comes to help, and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya comes, and we always meet the goals. So,
yeah. And that's it builds faith, doesn't it? As we take some risks and try to do things that we haven't done before, then in that, on that edge, we see that Krishna actually is there to carry what we lack and preserve what we have, and then we try for a little bit more, right? Nice.
And the other side, the second category, we always think that we've tried, we did the best this time, and there is no fault of what we've done, but it ends up that there's always something we missed, and it sees that, okay, next time, better service, so... that's
it's an ocean. It can continue. Any service is oceanic. In other words, you can invest in it unlimitedly, and there's unlimited room for improvement, and it can continue to expand eternally. That's the process of devotional service. Yes?
This is actually coming from as a realization from the parking service and during Janmashtami. No matter how much we plan for every contingency, there definitely comes a time when we are utterly challenged, and when we just think, oh, that's it, we cannot really pull this through, somehow the mercy descends and it just works out. Magic happens, like this time we're in the 30 cars backed up, and we're just in there, say, okay, we don't know, we are just doing it, and somehow it all happened.
So similar point, but different service, right? Happens in all the different services. A couple of thoughts I had was that things that always happen, even though I think they won't, my realization, we're always affected by our association. In fact, it's mentioned, asat sangha tyage vaishnava charas, tri sangha eka asaru bhakta krishna ar. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is a Vaishnava? He said a Vaishnava is one who avoids bad association, asat sangatyar. He gives up bad association. And it's interesting because one might think that I won't be affected by a certain environment or a certain kind of association. But according to Shastra, for instance, another verse, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu, that we're a product of our association. Because the jiva soul is tiny and is highly influenceable. And whatever environment that the soul is in, the soul picks up that mood and energy. And even though one may not be even aware of it, that it's happening, but it always happens. We're a product of our association. So I put it in the category of things that always happen, even though I think they won't. So somebody might think, oh, it doesn't matter that much that I'm associating with something that's maybe slightly detrimental to my devotional service, but it always has its effect. Things that never happen, even though I think they will. Things that never happen. I asked Keshav Bharti Maharaj and Nirkula this morning, they said, finding happiness in this material world. They never happen, even though I think they will. Or that I'll find a permanent place in the material world. Some people think I won't die. Or I'll find true love in the material world. So there's... there's a way in which I may speculate on what's good for me and what's not, but by taking the direction of the scripture about what is the proper way to conduct myself and which kind of association to take, what process is medicinal for me, and having full faith in that, then one gradually makes progress in devotional service. And I was about to read this purport, which tells of this progression of hearing and chanting, and it's from the Nectar of Instruction, text number 8, in the second to the last purport. Srila Prabhupada's quoting his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he says, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasha, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance called Varna Dasha. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavastha, the stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smarana. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smarana dasha, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called sampati dasha, the perfection of life. It never ceases to intrigue me how all of those stages begin and continue by the process of hearing, especially as we heard from the verse at the very beginning of the class from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has a supernatural effect on our the condition of our life. That's something to wake up early for. There are different motivating factors, and in one of the verses of the purports we are reading, it was mentioned that when one realizes this influence of the power of the spiritual sound vibration, he or she gets impetus. By spiritual impetus, that person wants to teach Krishna consciousness to other people. And similarly, if one realizes, as one realizes more and more the full potency of the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, of hearing regularly, that person begins to organize his or her life around the principle of hearing more and more from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we'll take some reflections from any of the purports or any of the discussion we've had. Any idea from today's time together that stuck in your mind, a particular principle, idea, phrase, or word that you heard that was meaningful to you. Malini.
Ji, when you were reading that purport about muddy waters, how Prabhupada was comparing in the purport that the rest of the yoga systems, Ashtanga yoga systems, will help one settle down the mud at the bottom. But even a slight agitation brings everything up. And I was thinking similarly, even in our devotional service, as long as the hearing and chanting is going on, there is no agitation. But once there is a slight gap, then we see that the agitation comes back. So that was very instructive.
Yeah, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that just as when dry grass sometimes is cut really short or is burned, then you think it's gone, but after the next rain, it all comes right back again. And there are many ideas about how to liberate oneself from the material world, but and they're not systemic. They don't deal with the origin of the problem. They don't completely deal with the seed, which is the material desire. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's affected by Krishna himself, actually deals with the root of the problem. And one can overcome the ocean of material existence simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. in the association of like-minded devotees. What else did you hear that stuck? Yes?
So you read the original purport, Prabhu, and in that Srila Prabhupada says that a pure devotee doesn't just liberate his own personal self, but he can liberate the entire world. And that reminded me, in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, Viprat Vishad Guna Yuta Daravinda Naba Pada Ravinda Vimukatsa Pacham Varishtam Mani Tadar Pitam Mano Vachite Hitaita Pranam Punati Sakulam Natuburi Mana. And he says that a so-called Brahmana, even if he has everything that's mentioned in the Sanat Sujata, if he hasn't surrendered everything to the Supreme Lord, he's not even as good as a devotee who is a dog eater, but he can not only liberate himself, but his whole family and everybody. So that's one thing I remembered. And then the second point was how powerful it is if we, the mad elephant events is that no matter how much you have developed that bhakti lata bridge, simply by offending a devotee, it can all be gone in one go.
Yes, very interesting, and therefore, not only do we have to hear and chant, but we have to be careful about not making offenses. And in that context, Prabhupada had written that the offense has to do with whimsically giving up the order of the spiritual master, which is essentially the order of scripture, and just doing whatever one wants. Thank you. Kameshwari.
Hare Krishna. The point that stuck to my mind, Prabhuji, is the one you were mentioning, by hearing and chanting, one develops the capacity to do more hearing and chanting. And I remembered once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what will you get by chanting? And then Srila Prabhupada responded, I don't know exact word, but he said, we'll continue chanting. More chanting.
Yes. And the very ability to chant, to be interested in chanting, to be interested in hearing is a sign of Krishna's mercy, because it's very difficult to concentrate the mind on hearing about Krishna. One may sit down to chant japa, for instance, and then the mind may then say, please get back up again. And it may pull us in various directions because it's very unsteady and there are many distractions that come into the mind. But gradually, as one has taste for hearing about Krishna and hearing and chanting Krishna's names, it becomes the most interesting sound vibration one has ever heard. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one can't distinguish that sound. It doesn't sound like anything the devotee's ever heard before. It's not like any other sound in the material world. And therefore, Prabhupada says that before we see God, we hear God. We hear Krishna in his name, and that comes through the mercy of Krishna and the devotees and by our intensive practice. Yes?
I like the point that it's not just like regular reading, but also sufficiently reading the Srimad Bhagavatam purifies our heart.
Can you say more about that? Why you like that? And why you picked up on that particularly?
Because I feel like I'm not consistent. I read like a few days, many pages, and then I don't read. So I feel that there's like gaps on that. And so.
Yeah, I was talking to Giriraj Maharaj yesterday because he's writing a book about Prabhupada in Bombay. And there's a long history there that's very interesting and important to our movement. And nobody knows more about it than Giriraj Maharaj because he was there for all of it. And we were talking about the writing process. And one of the things I was recalling from the time I was writing my book is one of the ways in which my process of writing was slowed down was that I interrupted the process of writing. And then, as I said to him, the trail went cold. You know, sometimes when people, like a detective is investigating a case, and then the trail goes cold, you're following along, and then, you know, something interrupts your investigation, and then you can't find the next piece of evidence, and then you sort of get distracted from the whole thing. And it's hard to pick it up again. So in a similar way, breaking the consistency of one's regular daily sadhana of hearing can make one's taste go diminish and the trail goes cold. So the consistency is very important. In fact, someone said recently that consistency is more important than intelligence. If you can be consistent in something, you'll get momentum in the process of devotional service, then you'll easily make advancement. Yes?
The phrase SNA you mentioned, spontaneous natural affection.
SNA, spontaneous natural affection.
The words hearing Krishna's pastimes was beneficial.
What did you like about that?
It's sort of homework I have to do to know what the phrase exactly means, because it related to understanding one's constitution position.
Yes, and it relates to the overall process of hearing and chanting and how it leads one to an awakening of one's relationship with Krishna. That was mentioned in the verse that we read. And just adding a caveat to that, it shouldn't be rushed or taken prematurely. In other words, sometimes people reason that because hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is so effective, and the fact that there is a way in which it wakes up our relationship with Krishna, therefore I will specialize in hearing only certain sections of the Bhagavatam. And that way, such person's reason, I will develop that particular relationship with Krishna. However, the acharyas have recommended that one hear all of those things, but incidentally, in the course of going through the whole Bhagavatam. For instance, the Bhagavatam is to be read from the beginning of the first 9 cantos, will convince one of the futility of material worlds, that one's not one's body, and so forth. Correct?
Yes.
What's an example of that in the first 9 cantos? Who said that? Go ahead.
The story of Puranjaya, which is basically an allegory, when Narad Muni describes to Prachinbari, he was taking actually Prachinbari as the example, kind of representing Puranjaya.
Puranjana.
And then he describes the story how Puranjana kind of gets infatuated with the material nature, and then he gets carried away. And then he does all kinds of abominable things like killing, eating wine, and becomes a henpecked husband. And then towards the end, because he thinks about his wife all the time, next life he becomes a woman.
Yeah. So that gives one a look at the entire course of someone's life as told through the narration of Narada Muni. And you can see the implication of normal course of material life, right? That's a good example. Did you have another one? Chitraketu, who was desperate to have a son. He was a king, and he couldn't have a son, so Angira gave him benediction that he would be able to have a son by some special mystical process that he did, and then he warned him that the son would be the cause of his happiness and lamentation. Chitraketu said, "No problem, I'm ready for that." And then he had the son, and unfortunately, although he had many wives, the co-wives of the wife who had the son became envious, and they poisoned the child. And then he was blinded by agony, he and his wife. Unimaginable suffering that he went through in that loss. Then Angira and Narada came back, and by their mystic power, they induced the jiva to come back into the body of the young boy and speak knowledge. And they asked him, why did you leave your parents? He said, I don't know these people, I'm sorry. Basically, I've been through many, many millions of lives, many millions of families, and this is just another one I'm passing through. It's just my karma to leave at this time. So there are these kinds of perspectives through the first nine cantos through which one understands the difference between the body and the self and the implications in material life and so forth. What are the reflections? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I really took note of that emphasis of Hati Mata Aparad, Vaishnava Aparad. And especially if one is, even if one is a very advanced age, but if he does Vaishnava Aparad, then his taste for devotional service goes away. One example I can recall from the pages of Bhagavatam, which teaches this lesson, is the interaction between Durvas Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Apparently Durvas Muni was very powerful. He was so powerful that he was meditating and he could know within a while meditating that Ambarish Maharaj has taken a sip of water, but he was so disturbed and he creates a demon trying to kill Durvas Muni, but trying to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But we can see Ambarish Maharaj, he was so perfectly situated that he was not afraid at all. On the contrary, when the Sudarshan Chakra came immediately within a split second and killed the demon, when the same Sudarshan Chakra came to Durvas Muni, he was running away. And he flew, he was so powerful that he was even flew to different Brahma Loka and everywhere. So although apparently Ambarish Maharaj may not seem so powerful, but Durvas Muni has such a great power, but you can see because he committed a Vaishnava Aparad, all his powers became completely nullified and he was running away here and there.
Yeah, that's definitely a quintessential story about the importance of not offending Vaishnavas in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are others as well. So, yes.
The point that I remembered from this is a powerful pure devotee doesn't only deliver himself, but delivers everyone others in his association. So that gives us hope that we may not be whatever we want to be, but we are, if we are in the right association, we can always progress forward.
Yes. And if one carefully follows the acharyas, that point was given also. If one aligns one's life with acharya upasana, worshipping the previous acharya and acharyas and following the instructions, one will without a doubt be successful. Often quoted verse by myself from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter. Bejure muniyota gre bhagavan tamadhok sajam satvam bishuram shemaya kalpante yenutaniha, which says that previously the great souls had worshipped Lord Vishnu in order to attain the highest benefit in life, because they knew he was beyond the three modes of material nature. And those who follow in the footsteps of those personalities are also eligible for the same result. Kalpante yenutaniha. The verse Kurvanti govatsa badam vababdhin in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto also mentions that by following the great souls, it's as if boarding a boat, that one can cross over the material ocean. Thank you for bringing that point out. Always worth remembering. Yes.
Starting of the lecture, you mentioned about how cooperation is synonyms of bhakti, and Hans Priya Mataji made a point that duty of call with love and respect. I found like there's a deep significance in that line, because as we understand, yeah, we are practicing. There are different level of we do, like some do out of fears, then out of duty, and then highest is love. But there is interaction involved. When there is a duty comes, you can reciprocate with love and respect. Then there's duty.
Thank you. And now I also want to recall what happened over the last few days, because everyone in Silicon Valley practically came here, and participated in this Janmashtami festival, and I'd like to hear from all of you any of the highlights from the last few days. Any of the incidents or any revelation that you had through doing your service or seeing or meeting people who came to the Janmashtami. I can tell that Shyamalangi's ready. It's nice to remember these things so we can take the gems away from.
Yeah, I was remembering Giriraj Maharaj's offering. We were in the kitchen, but from there, I mean, whatever I can recall, that he talks about that Dhananjay who asks Prabhupada about the mountain of gold, and he can get the gold and, you know, for ISKCON, for the movement. But Prabhupada says that more important than wealth, that you can get devotees. So he tells devotees are more bigger wealth than the actual, you know, gold. So that's something I remember.
Nice remembrance. Yeah, very good. Kishori?
I was so nice to see. Sometimes I feel like organizing a festival is like a big puzzle and all the pieces are scattered, but Hansa Priya Mataji was just so expert, and she knew where every person was good at what they were doing, so much so that everybody did their part so perfectly, the puzzle just came together expertly, and it was all perfectly executed, and there was no like qualms, so I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, I noticed that when I heard how many teams there were, I was shocked. And part of it being perfectly executed was that you hardly noticed all the teams. Everyone was working in sync, and therefore there was no occasion to notice anything except for the deities and, you know, being engaged in hearing and chanting and so forth. That is the result of such execution, isn't it? Nice.
One of the devotees that was helping out with some things yesterday, I don't think I've seen him at the temple, probably it's a one-time visitor. He was just amazed how devotees were working like non-stop without sleep. He just couldn't believe it. He was saying that again and again while carrying his whatever load he was carrying. I can't believe how they can do. He just kept saying that. And I was saying that's like preaching. You know, it's like preaching.
That people can see that.
Yeah. They can see the preaching in action and people get their message.
Yeah.
That's very powerful.
Very much so. Nice point.
As a shuttle service driver, I have some interaction with the visitors who came to the temple.
Mm.
And people were so grateful how organized the program was. Because it's all about the service. And again, a lot of people said, yes, are you really working for the temple? I said, I work for the temple, but I don't get... So they were so grateful. When we bring them in here, they ask, are you sure you're going to give them back to the parking lot? I said, as long as you want it, we will be here. So the part of the service, they were so appreciated and grateful. And they were kind of wonder how that happening.
Very nice. Isn't that nice to hear? Hansa Priya in the back? Well, might as well go to Sudeep and then make sure she's got a microphone ready to go.
I just wanted to add what Shalabahu Prabhu was saying, and actually just credit to him that since we were running the shuttles from here to the designated spots, but Shalabahu Prabhu was going above and beyond and was actually extending the courtesy, and the guests were saying, oh, we actually parked some other place. That's fine, where you are parked, I'll drop you over there. And I was witnessing that and I was like, wow, this is like going above and beyond, and how they were pleased, the guests. They were really pleased with that. And another point was service inspires service. I mean, it was an absolute pleasure and a joy serving with all the people. And it's like we were just trying to get better, which perfectly fits our motto, always better service. So thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Wow, nice realizations.
My favorite for the last weekend was the Prabhupada Appearance Day, because you just get to hear so much nectar and hearing just like a proper temperature to get it cooked, you know. So, and it cooks in that slow degree of that nectar that comes out of the mouth of the senior Vaishnavas. And it just, you know, it just takes you to a whole next level and makes you feel grateful, not just that, but you're ready to give up everything and anything, even though you had gone like physically, mentally, a whole lot on the day before. But just that day, the Prabhupada Vyasa Puja day, is so profound day that, you know, it's just, you're alive again from the dead. So I just wanted to, I share that how much I appreciate Srila Prabhupada Priyan's day.
Thank you very much. Beautiful. Okay. Radha Kripa, good. You're right there. Okay. Then Haladhar Rupa, and then over to Malini.
So Maharaj, especially on Prabhupada's days, I think offering, I always look forward because you hear, you know, what it could be if we continue to hear for, you know, practice for so long, what one can be at least, you know, you could see such things. That really inspires. But I was really, you know, was not only impressed, I don't know the right word to say it. I know Nirukula Mataji was in the kitchen, and of course, you know, it is the beloved spiritual master's offering day, and time was running out, but she decided not to give her offering, and then she was in the kitchen on the service. I was just thinking, wow, you know, that is the supreme sacrifice you're doing for service. That's, you can't see anywhere. That's something, you know, I relish and treasure. I wish I have that, you know, one day, that such thoughts.
Nice.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, on the Janmashtami day, in the morning, like when we start the Bhagavatam class, His Holiness Keshavbhati Swami Maharaj started reading the Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. And in that, Lord Brahma, he is offering the complete universe to Lord Krishna. And Maharaj emphasizes that point. You know, like sometimes we are so much proud of our wealth, our bungalows, or our, you know, talented kids, and we are so much, but when Brahma is offering the, you know, universe to the Lord Krishna, that point was, you know, really deep impression in my heart. And rest of whole festival, you know, like my heart was opened to give all things, you know, whatever I have to dedicate to Lord Krishna.
Nice point. Nice remembrance. In that context, I remember also that we heard about how Brahma, by his penance and austerity, has so much power that he's maintaining the universe. Of course, Krishna's maintaining the universe, but it's coming through Brahma. And there's a way in which, when he goes to sleep, there's destruction in the universe. One person can have so much influence. And it also reminded me how austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins, performing devotional penances and so forth, actually bring one in contact with Krishna, because as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, the transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Malini.
Ruchi, I've seen how doing consistent service over years makes a person grow. And I've seen that how Hansapriya has been doing this Janmashtami service for years and years and years. And I've seen that growth so much in her. I will share one incident, because organizing such a big festival includes so much of stress. You're anxious about so many things. And in the past, I know that she would get anxious and she would sometimes get angry and upset. But this time I've seen that she has conquered that. There is one instance specifically.
Yeah, my realization.
In the Pujari service in the morning, she was trying to do something, but she was chastised and asked to leave. And she was upset for a moment and she left. And then I said, you know, you can't do this. It's service for Krishna. You should come back. And she came back. And I was so surprised that she didn't take that to her ego at all. She came back and she did her service. And I was truly amazed how she has actually grown so much in spiritual life just by doing the same service again and again. And this time I've not seen her getting upset at all. So I think it's a great...
It is, and that's one of the reasons it's important to have a community of devotees, because we're all in the same pot, and, you know, the heat's on. And if you just don't get out, then you know the flavors start to come out really. And it's important for us to see how our colleagues, as we're going through, you know, a decade and a half, 2 decades, 3 decades, and you know, all of our God brothers, God sisters, as we're going through, it's important for us to see their advancement and also their comebacks. People, they slip sometimes, but then they come back. And having a mature perspective of how devotional service is effective over an entire lifetime gives one that absolute faith. And it happens in the association of devotees like this. And it is something I've noticed also. You know, specifically, those devotees who have decided they're going to do their service no matter what, and they always show up for it, no matter what happens. And then over time, they actually advance and become special souls, and they emulate what we see is the highest levels in the scriptures. Yes, Gandharvika.
Mali just said exactly what I wanted to say, but I just wanted to summarize that instead of going through the service, like just year after year, she has grown through the service, and it's really, I admired the grace with which she handled every devotee, and you could see the extra effort that she put to make, it's an extremely difficult task, especially when you have power and you try to practice the principles. I really appreciate that, and it was really a learning experience for me. And I really appreciate her for setting an example that anything is possible through service, that good qualities come. And another thing that I was also very, I like all the festivals at ISV is because even in other temples, they celebrate Janmashtami all over the world, but nowhere the continuous hearing happens. Like they go for Mangalarati, come back home, do your thing, and then go to evening and come back. But in our temple, we have the whole day hearing and chanting, and that something gives me a glimpse of what spiritual life is. Because then otherwise the festival becomes a normal activity if hearing and chanting is not there. And I see the potency of the devotees who are very advanced, like how much their potency, sometimes I can't sit, but they didn't eat, they didn't sleep, but they still come and they hear. That sets the bar so high that do I have the taste for hearing that much? So I really thank you for setting this up at ISV, the standard for hearing and chanting.
Well, it's all of us together. Yes, let's hear from the Mataji in the back. Yes, please. Yeah.
So the thing that I remember about this year's Janmashtami was I called the temple and said, we've just moved from Wisconsin. I'd love to come to this con for the first time. So when is the Janmashtami celebration? And the devotee at the other end of the line said, yesterday. So, so now that I've exposed myself as a procrastinator, I'm also hoping that the temple will also be kind enough to make it more, the messaging a little more broader next time, so then procrastinators like me would know, you know, would be able to come and participate as well. So
that's good. That's something we'll work on.
Yeah, and
I think we'll put you on the committee to help.
That might be a good idea. And also, I mean, judging by everybody's feedback, you know, I clearly understand that I must have missed a really, really great occasion.
There'll be another one. It was a great occasion. But Krishna willing.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm not late for that one as well. So
they come like waves here, and there are a lot of festivals. And we're really glad you're here from Wisconsin, and we welcome you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. You were next, Nikarvin. Yeah. We're getting down to 30 seconds here.
Maharaj, I will keep short that you always tell that there are invisibles always in the society, those who we can't see. So, because definitely to here, if you want to come invisible, you have to come after midnight. That is a little difficult.
Yeah.
So, I know some. Only one day I stayed, so I can see the like devotees like Dhiraj Prabhu and all his so many team. They stay for more than 4 or 5 nights after midnight, maybe 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, to cleaning, making sure that kitchen is clean for the next day. I really appreciate their service.
Yeah, amazing. Really enlivening to see that. Yes, last one. Yeah. Okay, we'll call on you. Go ahead.
Prabhuji, I just wanted to highlight, right in the, after the Mangala Aarti, you said the mood so right, saying that everybody who's going to come today for the Janmashtami, he's a special person, so you need to take extreme care. You use that word, extreme care. And while I was doing my service, I could really feel that how really everybody was so eager to take Krishna's darshan. They had so much respect for the deities and for taking prasadam. And not only that, I thought, without those people, where would I get an opportunity to do the service? So in that way, they're really special, I thought.
Really nice realizations. Really profound. Okay, you're the last word. Puja. And then Shraddha.
Let's get that.
But go fast, because it's almost time.
One of my friends from office, she is from China, she came to the temple. She came for an hour, and she was like, every stall I go to, they all are happily smiling at me, and they're welcoming me very nicely. And I told her that they all are fasting also. And she was like, are you serious? They're fasting. she was like, okay, I can help them. So she helped some stalls, I don't know where, because I was busy in the free prasadam. But she was very happy, and she went back very happily.
Yeah, it's especially nice to when guests come and see for the first time, because then we vicariously appreciate what we have through their eyes. Yeah, very nice point.
Maharaj, I'll be quick. One was that the Shastra jam that we have the whole day is the only reason that I can keep a fast and Janmashtami.
Who said that?
No, I'm saying
that. Oh, you're saying that. But that's true, you know. Yeah.
And then one of my friends, she comes every year, but she leaves very quickly in 15 minutes. But this year, she stayed beyond 12 midnight. And all that she kept on saying was that, oh, I love this, I love this. So there was definitely something in the atmosphere coming from, you know, the words that you spoke at during...
It was very magical.
Yeah, Mangala Aarti.
The people here were very interested in hearing and chanting. They stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. I see it also when we go on. You have more. Go ahead.
And I was saying that my duty usually is inside. I'm either in the Shastra jam or we are doing inside control. And so I miss out. I don't know what goes outside in the temple. And so having this volunteer day made me appreciate you know, some of the other things.
Me too. I didn't get to go out so much. But I really wanted to.
There was one thing that was lacking in the volunteer appreciation part. And I think we did not appreciate Hansa Priya Mataji enough.
Hare Krishna. Jai.
Well, yes, Prabhu, please go ahead.
I just beg 2 minutes, you know. I want to talk about your kirtan. You know, last Sunday you start singing one new tune. It was wonderful, but you were a little struggling. Harmonium coordination and your voice, you know, but on Thursday, the Janmashtami day, your kirtan, the same tune was so good. Your voice and Priya Kishore's harmonium coordinating very perfectly. And I was managing the day over here, and 10 people were going out. They said that we don't want to leave because we want to listen to your kirtan, you know. But I couldn't find any space for them, you know.
This just goes to prove that it's hard to stop doing devotional service when you start. So, but we'll have to end this class, and we thank everyone very, very much. Now we're going to have an Artik ceremony. Go pray for the Hari Bol. Natari Armarman.